Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, January 11th, 2017. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. And how are you, Kelly?
I'm a little chilly, but I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm not quite as chilly as you. It seems that I have warmer weather than you do. How about that?
Which is weird. I have most of a foot of snow at my house, and you were telling me earlier it's like 50 degrees there?
Yep. Welcome to winter in Colorado.
Yeah, you literally have twice the degrees I do. This is very weird.
I have degrees to share if you'd like some.
I would.
Let me pop them in a box and send them right over.
Sounds good. Thanks.
And John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, I'm very good. Kelly says she's a little chilly. Does that mean she's calling us from Hatch, New Mexico?
Oh, you are just so clever. I can't hardly stand it. Yeah. Yes. Kelly is in Hatch, New Mexico. That's exactly what's happening.
Oh. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, John.
All right. Hey, we also have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Blue Apron, the company that sends really awesome food right to your door so you don't go hungry. And your mom would be proud of you for eating well. And, you know, everyone deserves a little bit of approval in their life. But anyhow, we have some stuff that we need to talk about before we get to our sponsor. And I think we need to start off with Apple. And we have news that a couple key players in Apple have left and gone to Tesla. So the man that was responsible in a big way for the Swift coding language coming to life is now at Tesla. And the man that was responsible for some designs that you will recognize, like the part of the touch bar MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. He's at Tesla as well. So, we're seeing some of these people that look like they're key to Apple gone. And I'm wondering, does this mean that there's a problem at Apple? I mean, are there focus issues? What's going on? And John, something tells me you have some ideas.
Yeah, we were talking about this this morning in the staff meeting, and several ideas kind of converged at once. We've all had sort of vague feelings about lack of vision and coherence in the Macintosh product line, but there's also maybe a little bit of it in the iPad line as well, in that when Apple released the 9.7-inch iPad Pro in March last year, it superseded the capabilities of the Big Brother, which was November 2015, the 12.9-inch. So here we have a newer product. They're both iPad Pros. One's smaller, but it has more features like True Tone and a better camera and more megapixels and better color gamut on the display. And so you're wondering, well, what's going on with the product line? And what's the fate of the 7.9-inch iPad? We don't know what's going on there. We've seen some rumors about a possible 10 to 10.5 inch, and we don't know whether that's Apple experimenting with a larger size or whether they're going to maybe flesh out the product line a little. So, and if Apple was ready with the A10X processor back in November, which they apparently weren't, we might have seen a new iPad Pro 12.9 inch in the fall last year, but we didn't. And so all of a sudden, if you look at the Mac line and you look at the iPad line, you sort of sense that maybe there's a little bit of supply chain dysfunction or lack of product vision that forces its way into the product, into the supply chain to make sure everything is ready to go and the product is designed and ready to be released in a coherent, orderly way. And that, in turn, as we talked about in the staff meeting, could be possibly leading to some departures, where people with extreme expertise are seeing companies with more coherent visions in their specialty area who could really celebrate and utilize their services. And maybe Chris Lattner's is one of those examples. And then the other thought
Chris Lattner
I had,
being the
founder of Swift.
Yeah, the founder of Swift.
And the other thing I thought I had is that, as we know, Swift is loosely based on a very secure programming language called Haskell. It has some of the features and attributes of the Haskell programming language. And when you're building autonomous software, when you're building a car that has millions of lines of code, and the occupants are literally at its mercy for their lives, you want to have not only very high quality software, but you want to have very secure software. And that requires a very astute programming, but it also requires a language that enforces certain programming principles, keeps it from being hacked. So it could be that Tesla realized it needed more assistance with their software and being more trustworthy, less hackable for their autonomous systems. And hence they went after Mr. Ladner. So these are the thoughts that are percolating in my brain this morning. All of us were. I'm just kind of speaking for the team.
So do you think that Apple is losing their focus for their products?
It could be that Tim Cook being so involved with politics and attention to Mr. Trump and U.S. manufacturing and the completion of Apple Campus 2 and the business in Ireland with the European Union and all the things he has to attend to and the car project, Titan, that Tim Cook may have not had the time to sit down and thoroughly plan out and think about a product lineup the way Steve Jobs might have. You know, I had a lot of experience with aerospace and the government in my career. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I noticed is that managers carry a little checkbox thing around in their head. And they'll walk up to you as an engineer. It's like a Dilbert cartoon. Imagine Dilbert. Is X being taken care of? And of course, the good engineer wants to stay out of trouble and says, oh, yes, it is. It's under control. And manager checks the box in his head and walks away and goes on to the next crisis. And so with those boxes that are checked are accomplishments in the manager's brain, things that no longer need to be attended to because somebody told him it's under control. And then we find out later, well, it wasn't. And so this can happen in any organization.
All right, so what's going to come as a surprise to approximately no one?
Exactly.
I disagree with John.
Apple has human beings. They're human, subject and to these.
So, Kelly, why do you disagree?
Well, it's not so much that I disagree as that I think it may be the wrong approach vector. So I think, yes, it is a pretty solid piece of logic to say that Tim Cook, who used to be the Lord High Executioner of the supply chain, I don't know what his official title was, but he was the guy that made sure all of those things happened. All of those parts were where they needed to be. All of the deals were made for the stuff that they needed to do the thing that they wanted to do. I am going to assume that since his title at that time was not CEO and his title now is CEO, he has a slightly different set of duties than he did when he could spend a lot more time on that. So, you know, we've seen evidence of this with some weird release schedules, some languishing release schedules, some vanishing release schedules, AirPods. And I think that there may be more to it, though, as far as people leaving. And I don't know that it's necessarily like Apple's gone off the rails. Apple doesn't have any vision. I think it's more the iPad. At this point is a reasonably mature device. That doesn't mean there's not room for innovation. The MacBook Pro are reasonably mature devices. They're laptops. They've been pretty well refined over the years that they've been around. You know, they've been, particularly the laptops have been around a really long time. The iPhone, you know, had it just hit its the 10th birthday of the initial announcement earlier this week. Mm-hmm. So I think it might be a little less about the organization I'm working for now is a disaster and more I want to go do a new awesome thing. And, you know, part of why I wanted to work on the iPad, part of why I wanted to build Swift was because I wanted to create this new thing and bring this new technology, whatever it may be, into the world. And Tesla may be a place where those skills are a better fit than someplace like Apple, where at least at this point, it may not necessarily be a lot of new products coming out as much as it is refinement of what's already there. And I don't know anybody who could complain if, you know, everything that came out from Apple for the next 12 to 18 months was just, you know, we fixed the lightning port on the bottom of the mouse so that you can actually use it while you're charging. That would be a refinement, you know, things like that. I think there's definitely room for something like that to happen. And I really hope that it's more that sort of explanation. And, you know, I disagreed with John. I'm not saying John
may have been
wrong,
more persuasive. But I may have been more persuasive than I sounded in that I was throwing together some concepts that were sort of forming a cloud in my brain and pondering as I do relationships. I wasn't necessarily trying to make a legal case that Apple's in trouble.
Well, so to me, I think that there may be just a different way to consider it. And it might be way more exciting to work on the first auto driving Tesla, for example, you know, completely autonomous Tesla, than it is to work on the sixth or seventh or eighth generation of an iPad, or the 10th iteration of a phone, or the umpteenth iteration of a MacBook. Like, you know, there may be just some sort of appeal to that. And, you know, people who know engineers, you know, I mean, John, this is something you can probably attest to. Like, sometimes there's what I know and it's comfortable and that's fine. But to have somebody put this new challenge in front of me and get to figure out a new thing or build a new thing or find a new way to do this other thing, to some people, that's where, like, all the appeal is.
That's exactly right. We were talking about that also in the staff meeting this morning about how when a project changes direction and we suspect maybe some changes of direction are happening in the Titan car project, there will be at least two camps of people. There'll be people who go, I like my job. I like what I'm doing. I'm engaged. I like being an Apple employee. I'm just tell me what you want done and I'll do it. And then there are people who are going, like you said, Kelly, I didn't sign up for this. I have different aspirations. I don't like the direction of the project. I see opportunities elsewhere. I'm going to leave. So there's always that. And that happens everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just isn't always as big a name as I invented Swift and now I'm leaving. You know, you know, but on lower levels, I'm sure if there were someone who was keeping a much tighter watch on people who work at Apple who leave to go to some other thing, it's entirely possible that you would find a not insignificant number of people who solve a lot of big brain problems, pretty in-depth engineering kind of stuff, who go, I don't want to build the fourth circuit board that powers a thing. I want to build the first circuit board that powers a different thing. So I'm going to go work for this other company instead.
All right. So my big takeaway from this is that we haven't established if Apple is in trouble or not, but we have established that for whatever reason, there are people that are in what I'll call more key positions that would rather go work somewhere else now, for whatever reason.
And as always, there's a piece of the story missing that we don't know and may never know about what the thing was that was the tipping point that caused some of these people to go somewhere else.
Sometimes it's just lots of zeros on the end of a check.
Right. If the check doesn't bounce, you know, maybe it cuts your commute in half. Like, there could be reasons that have nothing to do with where you worked before.
Sure. All right. Well, my guess is that we'll be coming back to this at some point because we'll be learning more as we go along. So we should talk about our sponsor today. And our sponsor is Blue Apron. And it turns out I like to eat. And it also turns out I like to eat good food. And that's one of the things that makes Blue Apron so great, because what they do is they come up with these really great meal plans, and then they package up all the ingredients to make them fresh, and then they just mail it out to you. So you can do this thing where you get like three meals for two people delivered to you, and now you've got all this really great food. And it's so much better than, you know, like getting a frozen dinner and you pop it in the microwave, because it has a more personal feel. It just feels better when you get to work with really fresh ingredients. And if you're doing it with someone else, which is something that I just absolutely love, it's just a wonderful experience getting to share the food preparation and then eating together. And so I guess in a roundabout way, I'm saying you should totally sign up for Blue Apron because it's going to make your life more romantic. We all need a little bit of romance. Okay.
Now, so one thing I do want to point out is that, Jeff, you have a bit of dietary restriction and you're still like rocking the Blue Apron plan.
Yeah. And for me, it's actually been a little bit difficult to balance it all out, but that's okay because I know that in my case, it's just hard for any company to really cater to someone like me because I have a dairy allergy. So mm-hmm. I have to be really careful with what I get from them. And it's actually cool because when you see what the meals are for that week, if there's stuff in there that you don't like or you know you just can't eat, they have mm-hmm. other meals that you can choose. So you can swap out what you have for other things. And then if there's, you know, like one little thing that you can't eat from that, and it's okay to pull it out of the ingredients list when you make the meal and it's not going mm-hmm. to affect it adversely, okay, fine, just do it, because there's no rule that says you have to put it together exactly the way they say. But right. the cool thing is they also give you all the recipes, so you can make what they give you and enjoy it. If you want to play with it a little bit, add something else in, you can do that too. And then if you like what you've made, you've got the recipe. So now you can go to the store and buy the right ingredients and make it again.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So it's affordable. I mean, it's like less than $10 per person per meal, which you just can't do in a restaurant. And it gets even better because you can get your first three meals for free. And here's how you do that. You need to go to blueapron.com/TDO. That's blueapron.com/TDO. And then once you're there, you sign up for your meal plan, and that week's worth of food, those three meals, get shipped to you for free. You pay nothing. So it's even more affordable than going to a restaurant because you get these meals for free. And it's a great way to try it out and decide if this is the thing for you. And it's really cool. Totally, totally worth checking out, especially because you get some meals for free. blueapron.com/TDO. And thank you to Blue Apron for being our sponsor. Okay, so Nightshade, she's even excited about this. She's pitching
it's in. Nightshade approved.
Nightshade approved. Before we go, we are running out of time, but before we go, I wanted to get an opinion from you guys. So I wrote...
What? I know, us have opinion?
I know. I'm just totally going out on a limb here, but I think it's going to be okay. So yesterday I wrote a piece about how AT&T is raising the monthly fee for those people that still have the grandfathered unlimited data plans that they got with their iPhones, you know, like way back in the early days of the iPhone. So
like
they're
me.
Yeah, like you. So your monthly fee, Kelly, is going up from $35 to $40.
And which used to be $30. I just want to point out, when I initially signed up for this as part of purchasing my iPhone 3G, air quote purchasing back then, it was $30 a month.
Right. And so they raised that to $35 on you like last February,
last
I think.
Year? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been about a year. And then in March, it's going up to $40. So, what AT&T really wants is for you to decide that you're spending too much money on this plan and mm-hmm. and you need to switch to a capped data plan instead.
Right.
That's where they're going with this.
But now, at least all they're doing is trying to extort more money from me, which is better than the approach we're seeing from Verizon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I wrote that up this morning. So Verizon's approach on this is to pick out a data cap threshold, and if you are consistently using more than that, in this case it's 200 gigabytes a month, then you're getting an email from them saying, hey, You have to switch to one of our capped data plans. And if you don't, we are just going to shut off your phone number. And this is not the first time they've done this. They did this, I think it was last August. And at that time, they did it where it's 500 gigabytes. And so now they've dropped that threshold down to 200 gigabytes. And my guess is that at some point we'll see that drop down to 100 gigabytes. And what they're trying to do is force people out of the unlimited data plans.
I guess I'm just curious why they aren't offering those people, instead of just killing the service and getting no money from those people, why aren't they just letting them know, we're going to automatically convert you to a plan that's more expensive than the one that you're paying for?
My guess is that they can't do that because they would have already. I'm assuming there's some legal twist to this that prevents them from doing that. Hence, the unlimited data plans are still here. And so what they have to do is find a way to incentivize people to make the choice. Because if you choose to switch a data plan, well, that's okay. But I don't think they can force this change on you.
So what this says to me as a casual observer of mobile companies and mobile company shenanigans is that apparently Verizon's network can't take it. Otherwise, they wouldn't care. Like what they would be doing is just telling people you need a new plan that's going to cost you more money. Like I have a plan. You know, I have an unlimited data plan and it's going to automatically go up another $5 a month in a few months. So why is Verizon yanking these people off entirely? And my feeling, based on absolutely nothing except having watched this happen over the years, is that it must just be that Verizon's network can't hold up if all these people are using all this data.
John, what do you think?
I think it's hilarious. I think the marketing arm goes overboard to convince you to use this particular service because of all of its features and capabilities and watching videos on your phone. And then the engineering side says the marketing people are out of control. They're signing up customers and data faster than we can deliver. Engineering services.
We didn't know you were going to use all that data we told you just, had.
Yeah. And it's just, I just think it's funny how these companies have to advertise and boast how great they are to get people to sign up for services they can't support. And then the customers get upset. It just kind of amuses me no end. That's all I can say.
Yep. All right. Well, my guess is that there are at least a few AT&T and Verizon customers that are not amused. And listeners, right. I'm curious, what do you think? Is this okay, or is this a really crappy thing for these companies to do? Or am I completely off base? Let me know. Shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. Shoot me a tweet on the Twitter thing. That would be at TMO Daily. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes, because I check all those places to hear what you have to say, because I actually really do want to know what you guys think. So let me know. And with that, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course, it was my pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
You two are so cute. And Blue Apron, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to the Blue Apron website, blueapron.com/TDO, and get yourself 3 free meals shipped for free, too. I mean, that's just an awesome deal. And their food is really good. So go check them out, blueapron.com/TDO. And thanks for being here, everyone. See you again tomorrow.